This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora koutou, nō mai anō. Welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau, Ōte Pōti Dunedin Monthly Resettling in Aotearoa show. Ko Anna Aho, I'm the manager at CAB here in Dunedin. Our show is aimed at those who are new to Aotearoa, New Zealand, and navigating life here. In the past, we've chatted about rights and your rights, for example, as a renter, but also how things work here, like, for example, the driver's license system. This evening, though, I'm going to share with you information about the Citizens Advice Bureau service, who we help, how you get in touch, how it works when you contact us, and extra support services we can provide, such as language assistance when English is not your first language, or if you have difficulty connecting digitally, for example. So CAB's been in New Zealand for over 50 years. This is our 44th year in Ōte Pōti Dunedin. The word citizens in our name refers to anyone that is living here. It does not mean those who have New Zealand citizenship. So just to be clear there, anyone who is in the country can use our service regardless of your immigration status. So we help people to know and understand and exercise their rights and obligations under the law, then how to resolve their issues, and also how to access the services you need. We really like to empower people to have the confidence to take actions themselves, with our guidance. So our help and advice is free. We're independent of any government agency or department. Anything we talk about remains completely confidential. And as I mentioned earlier, we support anyone. So how does it work when someone contacts CAB? So firstly, we always pride ourselves on being friendly, welcoming, empathetic, respectful, and non-judgmental. We will ask you what has happened or is happening and what you, if anything, have done so far and what you would like to happen. We will spend some time gathering all the relevant facts, which will determine what your rights and options may be. The CAB Bureau interviewer who you speak to will then investigate and research your situation. They'll figure out what should have happened or what should be happening in terms of your rights. And we use the CAB comprehensive online knowledge base, which is the public website, basically, although we do have an intranet part to it that only we can access. And that is www.cab.org.nz, and it's available to anyone. It's a really powerful resource. It's got thousands of articles and information about people's rights under the law. The information is up to date and accurate, so people can have confidence they're reading quality, credible information about their rights. And the best thing is that it's written in plain English. Once we've taken the time to investigate your options and research your rights, we'll consider everything, and that research information will be presented to you. So that allows you to make an informed decision, and that educates and empowers people. It also builds resilience in the community for times in the future when you may need help again, and you'll think, oh, I'll go and read, see if there's anything on the Citizens Advice Bureau website, or I'll call CAB, or it just gives you the confidence to know that there are ways to resolve things, and you do have rights and you can stand up for them. Sometimes also further assistance will be offered to you or to help particular clients if that's appropriate. This might be, for example, providing language assistance for those who have English as a second language. So we have three language support options available that we can use with clients. Firstly, we have the 24/7 language assistance service, which is it's on the phone. We can just ring it at any time and ask for an interpreter. There's no booking required. So if you come in here and we sort of figure out that you might need a bit of language support, we can just ring them while you're here in the interview room and we can talk through the interpreter, and help you again with your rights and how to resolve your issues. And it's really important to make sure that you understand, your rights properly in your own language. And so there's no misunderstandings about the steps you need to take to resolve your issues. Secondly, we also have, there's CAB, the Citizens Advice Bureau volunteers all around the Motu, all around New Zealand, who can offer the CAB service of information and advice in another language. So they're volunteer interviewers who obviously speak another language, and they're skilled at the CAB service, but they'll be able to offer you our service in your own language. And we can see at any time who is on shift at every other CAB around the country, and we can see if there's anyone on shift at that time when you call us or you come in who speaks your language. And how that would work is that we would ring the other CAB and say, look, we've got a client who would really like to get the CAB service in their own language, and we would pass on your first name and phone number, and that person would ring you. And the third option for language support is that we can book the Te Whatu Ora Southern Interpreters, which is a face-to-face service. And it has to be booked ahead of time, and we need a bit more information. So that's not such an on-demand type service. But once you're booked, it might take a week to get a booking. You would come into CAB at the time that we've booked the interpreter, and the interpreter would be here with us. And this works quite well for when we're doing, for example, citizenship forms with a family, just to make sure that you're answering the questions properly and you're interpreting what you've been asked to do properly, and, there's no misunderstandings. And so other additional help that we may give you is, for example, helping someone to write an email or a letter if you have illiteracy issues. We also might help you to, for example, set up a RealMe account or fill in online applications for immigration or lodge a dispute tribunal claim or apply for a Kiwi Access card. When these things are done online, and if you might struggle because you don't have access to the internet or data, or maybe you just don't have a computer, you might not know how to use one, it might just be that you need help to interpret something that you've read and that you don't understand. We also might be helping you understand what you're entitled to in terms of help and support from other government agencies, and how to access this, for example, like financial support or home help. We always make sure you leave knowing what your rights in your situation are and what your next step is to resolving your issue. And we always reassure people that can always come back if they need further specific help. The other key part of our service is that CAB helps connect people to the services, clubs, activities and support organisations they need. We've got one of the most comprehensive community directories actually in Aotearoa, and we provide and maintain an online community directory. It's got over 35,000 services and organisations nationwide. We manage about 500 of them here in Dunedin and update them to make sure they're always current. So sometimes we might be finding a specific service for you, like counselling, or maybe you're looking for a sport or hobby or a friendship group to connect with. Or you might be looking for a place that you can hire for an event you're planning. These are all things we can help you with all on our community directory. Or you can look them up yourself on our community directory. And the end of it, we always summarise. If you've called us on the phone or come in, we'll always summarise at the end, make sure you know what your steps are before you leave. And sometimes if it's a phone inquiry, we might just follow up with an email, just send you an email, particularly if we're linking to our articles or, just so you've got it to read at home in your own time. And so now I thought I'd just sort of talk a little bit about the three biggest areas of inquiries that we regularly get questions about. And that's residential tenancy, so if you're renting or flatting, and your rights, the Consumer Guarantees Act and disputes about goods you've bought or services you've received, for example, like an electrician or a plumber. And the third biggest area is employment disputes, things that are happening at work that aren't right, you feel that aren't right, or the conditions of your work, and you just want to know about your rights. So I thought we'd just do residential tenancy first and give you some examples of inquiries we've received. So the first one is, I'm thinking of moving out of my student flat. I do not know the legalities of moving out. I was wondering if someone could talk to me about this, please. I've not told anyone yet as I'm still thinking about it and I want to know the process before I make my final decision. So that would have come in on an email. Next one is, call a phone to ask about getting his bond money back. He entered into a flatting arrangement and paid $750 bond to the head tenant. The flatting arrangement did not work out and after 6 weeks he made the decision to leave. A new tenant took over his room. When he paid the bond, he did this with internet banking to the head tenant and he wants his bond money back, but the head tenant is refusing to return it. You know, he wanted to know what he could do. And the third example is, the client has had trouble with ongoing noise from her neighbour. Large family group with several children, noisy throughout the night. The homes are attached so she can hear and feel every noise. She's spoken to the occupants a number of times. They said they'd keep the noise down, but there's been no change. She spoke to noise control of the DCC, who said they couldn't help. She's also got health problems with her heart and breathing. So, yeah, she just wanted to know what her rights are and how she could resolve that. So I guess the first thing, I'm just going to generally talk about some things to be aware of. There's some situations that aren't covered by the Residential Tenancy Act, so you've got to be aware of this. So it doesn't cover private boarding situations, doesn't cover if one of the tenants is a member of the landlord's family, or if it's a holiday accommodation, and also if you are not named on the tenancy agreement, you're not actually a tenant and you're not covered by the RTA. You're just classed as a flatmate. And we have many articles on our website. So again, www.cab.org.nz. For example, these are some of our article titles. What kinds of renting situations are not covered by the Residential Tenancy Act? What is the difference between a tenant, a flatmate and a boarder? What are my rights as a tenant? What rights do I have as a flatmate? What rights and obligations do I have as a boarder under the Residential Tenancy Act? So there's also different rules depending on whether you are on a fixed term, like it might be 12-month tenancy, or a periodic tenancy, which is one that would have no end date, or a service tenancy, which is usually connected to your employment, or a boarding house tenancy. And again, there's an article that will explain all of that to you. What is the difference between periodic tenancy, fixed-term tenancy, service tenancy, and boarding house tenancy? Another question we get asked is about the actual tenancy agreement and what if there isn't one? So it's actually a legal requirement for the terms of your tenancy to be in a written tenancy agreement. Landlord who does not provide a written signed tenancy agreement and make sure that a copy is given to the other tenant is breaking the law and could be fined. Most of the articles I mentioned above will have links to the Aotearoa Tenant Advocacy website. So CAB developed this with a whole lot of tenant advocacy groups, and that's tenant.aotearoa.nz. It's an amazing website, everything you need to know about your rights when renting and flatting. But again, most of our articles will link to that at some point. Something else that comes up regularly is about healthy homes and what the place people are renting in should be like, you know, in terms of the heating provided, insulation. Healthy home standards are actually minimum standards for residential tenancy and cover heating, insulation, ventilation, moisture, drainage, draft stopping, and there should be a healthy homes compliance statement attached to your tenancy agreement. Lodging bonds and landlords not lodging bonds is something else we often get asked about. So on receiving the bond from the tenant, the landlord is legally required to provide the tenant with a receipt and they must also lodge the bond to the bond centre, which is part of tenancy services within 23 working days. Generally, the best starting point to resolve any issues with a landlord or property manager who's representing them is always to talk to them and let them know there's a problem. And often that can resolve problems between themselves and it's generally the less stressful and less time-consuming option. However, it doesn't always work. Tip here, always keep copies of all letters, notes you send to the landlord or anything you receive from them, texts, etc. Keep records of any conversations you've had, date, time, what was said. Talking to your landlord or putting your request in writing does not solve any dispute you have with them. You can send them a 14-day notice to remedy. It's called a breach notice. And it's a 14-day notice remedy is a letter warning the landlord that they have 14 days to fix the problem, or the tenant may go to the tenancy tribunal to sort the matter out. So there's clear steps to resolving breaches of the RTA, and this is something we regularly guide people with. And in the end, if you have tried to resolve issues, the last step would be the tenancy tribunal, or if it's not covered by the Residential Tenancy Act, it would be the disputes tribunal. So there's more, you know, to read a bit more about the above situations, again, some titles of some of our other articles are what should be in a tenancy agreement, what happens if there is no written tenancy agreement, my rental home does not meet the healthy hands home standards, what can I do, what are the insulation requirements for rental homes, what happens if my landlord does not lodge the bond I paid to them, what is the best way to resolve a dispute with my landlord. If you need help to understand your rights about anything related to your renting situation or the Residential Tenancy Act, please contact us and we can certainly explain this to you and also guide you through the steps to resolving things. So another big area of inquiry we get relates to the Consumer Guarantees Act. Some examples of these sort of inquiries. The caller phoned to ask about a faulty product she'd purchased. It was a phone charge. It cost $65. 2 weeks later, the cord had all frayed. She took it back to the shop. They said they wouldn't replace it or do anything about it because it was still working. Then she wanted to know what she could do and what her rights were. Another caller had given her car to a mechanic to get the steering column fixed. It cost her $4,000. The client felt that the problem was not fixed properly, and in fact, the issue had got worse. She took her car for a warrant of fitness, and they confirmed that the problem with the steering column wasn't done properly, and she wanted to know her rights. Another one, client asked if retailers have to keep to a verbal quote. She bought a wood burner for personal use. She was quoted $50 to deliver it. And then later on, the quote suddenly increased to $200. So she wanted to know her rights. So just briefly, when you buy consumer goods for personal, domestic or household use in New Zealand from someone in business or services, like a plumber or an electrician, you are covered by the Consumer Guarantees Act, CGA, and they're covered by the following guarantees. So generally, they must be of acceptable quality, last for a reasoned amount of time, be fit for a particular purpose, match the description, and be a reasonable price. You have to remember, though, to consider how much you paid for them, what kind of product they are, how you bought them, and what the information you were given about them in the first instance. For example, if you bought a $30 toaster from the warehouse, you wouldn't expect it to last 5 years necessarily. But if you bought a really upmarket one and spent a lot of money on it, you would expect it to last a long time. And again, also, when you pay for a service, it must be provided with reasonable care, must be fit for purpose. They must make sure you get what you want, must be completed in a reasonable time. And they cannot charge you an unreasonable amount. So always get a quote. For example, when you engage an electrician to do electrical work on your house, they should do the work to an acceptable standard. So if there's a problem with consumer goods or services you bought, you can ask for a remedy and you can go back to the retailer or the service provider, explain the problem. And this is something we all regularly advising clients on. What are your rights under the CGA and then your steps you can take to resolve the issues? You've got to remember that there's a clear process to follow that you've got as the consumer has to follow as well. A good tip, again, is always to keep receipts and any correspondence you've had about it, any conversations you've had, write it down, what time, what was said. And it's always a good idea actually to correspond via email so there's actually a written record of everything that's happened. And also you've got to remember that you're actually not covered by the CGA if you buy privately. And there's some examples of articles that you can read on a website for this type of problem. I bought a product from a retailer. It does not work. What are my rights? I returned my mobile phone to the retailer because it's faulty and they charged me an inspection fee. Are they allowed to do that? How long should an appliance last? That's actually a really good one. My new laptop broke and I want to return it, but the retailer is only offering to fix it. What are my rights? I think the mechanic did a poor job of repairing my car. What are my rights? Can I claim for damage to my property caused by work I've paid someone to do? What are my rights when buying from an online retailer? again, you can ask us about any of this stuff. The third biggest area of inquiry is employment issues. Again, some examples. Client phoned about her employment. She's been laid off after two verbal warnings. The client had an ACC claim approved also, but had never been paid while she was off work. She doesn't have any employment contract, and she has been working for them for 6 years. Another one, the client called because they're finding deductions in their pay slip that they believe they shouldn't be there. And sometimes that's up to $180. It's been going on for quite a while. It's no explanation, even when asked. Employers hasn't been able to explain what they're for. And the client was given paperwork from the company to fill out regarding a complaint and wants to know what her rights are and what she should do. So, yeah, a little information here about employment rights. Every employee must have a written employment agreement signed by both the employer and the employee. It is legally binding, which means if one party doesn't do what they've agreed to, the other party can enforce the agreement. If you're an employee, full-time, part-time or casual, you have minimum employment rights around things like your hourly pay rate, hours of work, parental leave, annual leave, sick leave, dismissal and restructuring. Treating an employee or fellow employee differently at work because of nationality, ethnicity, skin colour, religious beliefs or race is discrimination and is unlawful. So how do you sort issues out? Well, you should always start by sorting it out informally first, between you and your employer, through informal discussion. You know, you might tell them what you want to talk about, set a date and time and place and have a meeting. Prepare notes is always a good idea. Ministry of Business and Innovation, MBIE, can also help with issues between employees and employees. They have an early resolution service, a mediation service, and labour inspectors. A personal grievance is a type of formal complaint an employee may make against the employer or former employer. Because you have the right to be treated fairly with respect and consideration within your workplace. And they should always have a disputes process in place to protect employees from being unfairly treated. If your complaint against your employer is not resolved informally, you might be able to bring a personal grievance against your employer. So again, there is a lot of information on our website about employment issues, and you might want to just have a wee look at these. These are the articles we have. There's just some of them. What kinds of behaviour is considered workplace bullying? Can I be dismissed if I have missed a lot of work days because of my health? My employer treats me differently because I'm not from New Zealand. What can I do about this? What is an employment agreement? My employer wants me to cash up 3 days of my annual leave. Can they force me to do this? What is the Employment Relations Authority? What can I do if I'm not receiving my minimum employment rights? What is a personal grievance? My boss won't give me 3 days bereavement leave to attend a tangi for a close friend. What are my rights here? How can the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, MBIE, help with an employment relationship problem? So, yeah, if any of these issues are happening for you, we can help and advise about your rights and the ways to resolve them. One really great thing, which I mentioned earlier, about the way our articles are written. So we have a legal team at National Office that write all these articles. They're fact-checked, so you can trust that they're credible. But they use plain English, so they're not really they're not full of jargon, legal jargon. They don't have a lot of technical terms. And you'll see also that there are other related articles at the bottom of the ones you're reading, or within the ones you're reading. And there's also external links which you can trust will also go to a credible factual website. So as well as these main areas of inquiry, we get many random questions about such things as a car's parked by my house and seems to be abandoned. What do I do? My neighbour's throwing rubbish over my fence. I can't find my mother's will. I think I've been scammed. I want to bring my family to New Zealand from the Middle East. Can they come and live here with me? The dementia unit won't let my husband come back home now that I'm out of hospital. My son is not letting me see my grandchildren. What are my rights? So as you can see, we get questions about absolutely anything. Another thing, something new to share with our listeners, is the new Citizens Advice Bureau Youth website. It's for young people. It's youth.cab.org.nz. Has information about many of the key issues for rangatahi youth, you know, embarking on those firsts in adult life, starting study, getting a job, going flatting, buying a car, getting ID, and a whole lot more. So it's a great resource, so check that out. Again, it's youth.cab.org.nz. So how do you contact the Citizens Advice Bureau here in Aotearoa Dunedin? So you can call Dunedin direct. So this will come directly to our office here, 03-471-6166. Or there is a nationwide free phone, 0800-367-222, but it may be answered elsewhere. It won't necessarily be answered in Dunedin, but you can ask them to be put through to Dunedin and they will call us and get your number and we can call you back if you have a problem with data or, you know, money on your phone or whatever. You can also email CAB via our website. There's an online inquiry. Just look along the yellow ribbon, find a CAB, and then contact us, email us under there. You can call in at 155 Princes Street, but it's always a really good idea to phone first at the start of a shift, 10:15 or 1:15, and just to check how busy we are. Our CAB hours are Monday to Thursday, 10 to 4, and Friday we're just open 10 to 1. So thank you to our listeners for tuning in this evening and Otago Access Radio for hosting us. Ngā mihi mai oha, it is appreciated. If you have any ideas for topics you would like to hear about, please go to our website and along the ribbon you'll see Find a CAB, that same place. Under the tab you'll see Email Us, where you can fill in an online form and make sure you mention that you're making a suggestion for our radio show. We are also on Facebook, CAB Dunedin, and on Instagram at citizens.advice.dunedin. So please follow us and check out the posts that we regularly share about your rights. Noho ora mai, stay well, mā te wā.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.